This podcast is produced by KPP Financial Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our April 19th, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And as always, we are here to help you face the challenges that come with investing your money and making good money decisions. And there are a lot of challenges that go into this endeavor. And it may, those challenges may just be about staying focused on the basics. And a lot of times we get distracted by a whole bunch of different issues that are swirling around us and exciting stories or negative stories. And the impact of world events and the financial climate of the moment can really fog our view. And it's understandable because these type of big events or potential big events get people's attention, right? Obviously, a nuclear war with North Korea gets a lot of people's attention, or at least even the potential of it, right? Or potential collapse of a big bank or financial institution that can cause many average investors to get caught up in the crisis or the potential of a crisis. And a lot of times we get distracted by shiny objects that are flashing before our eyes, either on our computer screens or our phones or a friend's pitch of a stock that they think is destined for greatness. And it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get caught up in the negativity or the hype, one way or the other, and stray away from the basics. Now, we're here to help you break through the barrier of the average investor. And part of that is sticking with the basics. Now, one way we can convey information to our listeners is through our wealth webinars. And we have one coming up in 1 week from today. It's all about getting better acquainted with the basics. And we're going to talk about fundamental and technical analysis, back to basics. That's what we're calling it. And I'll be hosting it along with one of our other advisors at KPP, Jason Toper, who is usually more focused on income and dividend paying stocks and fixed income, et cetera. And you know, we all work together with Steve to really develop strategies and portfolios and make investment decisions. And so he and I will be hosting this webinar, and it'll be a 1 hour session. We're gonna talk about what metrics matter most, how successful investors focus on certain financial metrics. So the big question is, what are those metrics that matter? And hint, hint, it's not a P/E ratio. Now, how to screen for attractive stocks. We're going to show that as well. How to employ a filter, set parameters for your search. And these screens can help you find a group of companies that match your criteria. And you know, from a strictly numerical standpoint. And then using your analytical skills, you can talk about focusing in on particular sectors or companies with certain brands, etc. Now, we're also going to talk about how to identify chart patterns in today's market. Now, the saying goes, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And in this case, a picture may be worth $1,000, maybe more, if you know how to understand it. Now, chart patterns are a complete pictorial record of the price of the stock, of the trading that's going on in the marketplace between buyers and sellers. And chart pattern analysis can be used to make short or long-term forecasts and projections. So it's a powerful tool for any investor who wants to deploy it if they know what they're doing. So we're going to touch on that as well, but we're going to keep it pretty basic, give you a full overview of really what you need to know from a high level. And we'll get into some specifics, but we don't want to get too bogged down into the weeds, because God only knows. There's plenty of weeds to pick through when it comes to investing. Now, during these webinars, we always make time for your questions as well. So if you do have a question, you can ask it, and we'll hopefully try to address it. Probably won't get to every question, but we'll do the best we can. Once again, this is a one-hour free webinar, but you do need to sign up. Registration is now open on investtalk.com. So why not sign up now? It's free. Once again, the date is April 26th, 1 week from today, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time to 7:30. So what money questions are on your mind right now? Our InvestTalk listener line is open at 888-99-CHART. But let's check in with our 24-hour listener line for questions that came in between times.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is that I'm 67. I started collecting my Social Security. I work full-time. I put the max that I can into my 401k along with the catch-up contribution. But at the end of the year, I'm still having to pay a lot of taxes. Is there any other sort of investments that I can make or plans that I can put more of my money into so I don't have to pay so much taxes at the end of the year? Thank you so very much.
You can put money into an IRA. I don't know if you said IRA. I heard the 401k part, but maxing out your a regular IRA is one way you can do that as well. There is a limit to the combination of your contributions or 401k employer contributions and your IRA, but that's something that you need to talk to your accountant to make sure you're not over that amount. But an IRA is a good place to start. From there, there's not a whole lot that you can really do to avoid taxes and income tax. You'll probably get pitched a lot of annuities to avoid maybe interest income and capital gains income, etc. I would probably guard against that. I wouldn't do that. So really, an IRA is probably your best bet. And to reduce your adjustable gross income. But once again, I'm also not an accountant. So having a really good accountant that understands your specifics, could be around home interest deductions. It could be something to do with maybe childcare if you have children that you're taking care of. So really a good CPA is very, very important as well on that front. But thanks for the call. Now we're going to talk about playing investment tricks on yourself. It's one of our talking points, different strategies that involve interest or switching maybe from bonds to high dividend stocks, etc. So we're going to talk about that and the pros and the cons. I also wanted to touch on a couple of Trump policies that he hopes to get through. One is tax reform. What are the implications? What's the market telling us when it comes to his tax reform? And then also his border tax plan as well. And then lastly, if we can get to a potential investment roadmap for retirees, hopefully we can get to that later in the show. But ultimately, your questions come first. I really love soliciting your questions. You are most important. A lot of people call about individual stocks, and I'm certainly up for that. But broad questions are great as well that can give you a better sense of how to react and make decisions on a consistent basis. Right? The old saying is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Or not that's the wrong saying. It's give somebody a fish, feed him for a day, teach them how to fish, feed him for a lifetime, right? So I rather teach you how to fish than just give you a fish, which is kind of a stock question. So, but either are acceptable, but you are priority number one. So give us a call, 888-99-CHART, and I urge you to call in sooner rather than later. I know yesterday there was a few in the last 5 minutes, and I try to push you to get the call in at the beginning of the show. Now let's take a quick review of the market today. We had the Dow down 118 points, the S&P down 4, and the NASDAQ was up about 13. And really, the Dow was dragged down by IBM. IBM had poor earnings after the bell, and the Dow is a price cap weighted index, and IBM trades for $161 a share at the close today. So it's one of the larger priced companies out there. Goldman Sachs also was down big the day before, down another $1.50 to $214 a share. So those are two kind of drags on the index because they're such high price. And I would consider that to, this is a good example of how it really, the Dow is a terrible metric for what the market did on the day. The S&P is far more telling when it comes to what exactly happened today. And down 4 in the S&P is a very modest down day, down 0.17%. And really, we're in the midst of a kind of a slow motion unwind of the Trump rally. I don't think we're cool. The market's quite giving up on it yet. And I could easily see a redux of it before they finally give up the ghost. But we're starting to really wane when it comes to the Trump bump. And we're in the midst of earnings season, so there's going to be a lot of news and volatility as well. I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein. What can we talk about today that would really be important to you? We can talk stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, commodities, any other important money topics that might be impactful to your daily life. It's an open line. We want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Yeah, I'd like to get your opinion on Freeport-McMoRan, FCX. It's been going up and going down like a yo-yo. I would really appreciate your view on this particular stock.
I was looking at FCX, Freeport-McMoRan. This is a name that rallied dramatically after the election, went from about $10 a share all the way to a high in January of about $17 a share. So you're seeing a 70% rise in the shares, and now it's down to $12.35. So very volatile name. It's a commodity name, which tend to be more volatile. It's one of the largest copper miners in the world. They do mine gold and silver and molybdenum. They have other parts of their business. But in general, they are a copper miner. They were the largest in the world, $17 billion market cap. No dividend. They actually got rid of their dividend. I don't know when, but they did get rid of it. And for me, I think this is going to head back down to $10. Anything that really got a big juicy move after the Trump election is likely to get unwound, especially the names in the commodity space, the steel names. Think U.S. Steel. And I lump Freeport-McMoRan in with that as well. So copper is weak, and I continue to believe this will completely unwind. So I'm not a fan of it. I would not be buying Freeport-McMoRan at this time. That was FCX. Freeport-McMoRan is the symbol. Now I want to hear from you. This is InvestTalk. I am Justin Klein. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now. You can do it live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can call after hours if you're not listening live and ask your question. You'll leave a message, ask your question, and we will answer it on the next show. Love to hear from you. /888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to touch on our main talking point, which is playing investment tricks on myself. And this is really an interesting article, and the reason I want to highlight it and talk about it is just understanding the way you can change a strategy to accomplish very similar goals. You know, there's multiple ways that you can skin a cat in the investment world, and even within a particular type of strategy, there's different ways to execute that. And the way that this author lays out his strategy is that he's going from a 60-40 stock bond model, which is, you know, your pretty standard balanced portfolio, very similar to our balanced income program that we employ for our clients. And what he's doing is taking that bond portion and just investing it in high dividend paying stocks. Now, this can be a viable option, but you have to understand what risks it creates, right? when you're buying bonds and you have a big economic downturn, you typically, as long as the bonds are in safer, healthier companies, not in the risk of default, you typically, the value of those bonds are going to hold up much, much better than stocks, even high dividend paying stocks, because many of the high dividend paying stocks will have some cyclicality to their business. They may cut their dividend, which will make the stock certainly decline and your income decline as well. There's just simply going to be more volatility around an economic downturn. And if you're in or near retirement, that could be a major issue. But say you're younger and you can kind of withstand the ups and downs of the economic cycle, but you do like the idea of dividend-focused and income-focused investing, this might be a good strategy for you. And dollar-cost averaging, putting money in on a regular basis, if you're in accumulation phase, it can be a good strategy to go by or a good way to adjust your strategy. So you see how, based on your life situation, based on your risk tolerance, you know, somebody who's maybe younger is going to have possibly higher risk tolerance than somebody who's retired, but that may not be the case as well. And vice versa, maybe somebody who's retired who is okay with a little more volatility, but still wants a focus on income can be a strategy that you deploy as well. So not all income strategies are executed the same. Just like not all growth type strategies are executed the same as well. For example, our dynamic growth program that we deploy for clients, which is usually for younger people, a little bit higher risk tolerance. And it sounds like we're investing in growth names. And in reality, it's really about growing the value of the portfolio. And as managers, as investors, we tend to be value investors. We're not really growth investors, even though we look for companies with growth. But we're not hyper-focused on the exciting growth names that are out there. We're focused on names that are trading cheaply, have consistent track records. Maybe the market's throwing out some, the baby out with the bathwater in many cases from time to time when the market gets negative on a particular sector. And we look to go find good values. So, and it's not necessarily companies in the dynamic growth program that will pay a dividend. Maybe they pay a small dividend, no dividend. Maybe they pay a high dividend. We really don't focus on one or the other, whereas the income-focused portfolio, we do. We focus on anything that's going to pay a dividend at least of 2.5%, 3% or higher. So when you're executing different types of strategies, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And consistently executing on that strategy is what's very important, is laying out what that strategy is and going after it on a consistent basis. You know, for us, it's daily. Daily, we're looking at our screens to find potential stocks that might come up. We're looking at different sectors, the leaders in the sectors. We have watch lists of companies that we would like to own at a certain price. And if they get down to our attractive price, we pull the trigger and we execute. And this is something that takes consistent work, but you can execute a similar type of strategy using various types of assets, asset classes, etc. So just be aware of that don't paint yourself in a particular box. There's many ways that you can be successful at this game, but ultimately, to start, you need to have a bigger picture view of your risk tolerance, your goals, what is out there for you to invest in, and what are the risks and rewards of each one. Now, I think we're going to get to a listener line call after the break, but I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number. Give us a call. Once again, this is Invest Talk.
Our podcast continues next, but first a reminder about our April 26th webinar. It's called Fundamental and Technical Analysis, Back to the Basics. We're going to talk about the metrics that matter most and how to screen for attractive stocks. It's a chance for the hands-on investor to hone their analytical skills, help you identify chart patterns that work in today's market. Join registered investment advisors Justin Klein and Jason Toper Wednesday, April 26th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but attendance is limited. So sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's. And click on the InvestTalk tab. And now we continue with today's podcast. InvestTalk continues. On our next InvestTalk, it's our real estate special, a full hour devoted to opportunities and cautions about real estate investing, with ideas, too, for homeowners who might be considering a move in the future. The hour will include four real estate investment strategies. That's tomorrow on InvestTalk. We still have time today for your question on any money topic. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, my question is, I am actually getting started to get into doing some momentum trading. Never done it before. And I've been looking into some different trading platforms. And it's almost like picking out a cell phone deal. And I guess I'm calling in for an opinion of if there's any recommendations on something to stay away from or okay.
All right. Well, you're definitely in a world that is complex. There's a lot of different platforms to use. Charting platforms is probably, it sounds like what you're looking to find. We use a couple. One is eSignal is our major charting platform. It costs thousands of dollars annually. Not sure what your budget is, but that's what we use. And we also, about half our client money is at TD Ameritrade. And with that, we get the institutional version of Thinkorswim, which, you know, I like. I don't like it as much as eSignal, but it is integrated with our client account, so that makes it a little easier as well. So those are the two that we use, but it's really up to you and your preferences and what you feel comfortable with. For example, eSignal, I'm on the older version. I think I'm on version 10, and I believe there's a version 11 now that is all black, and the version 10 is all white, and I'm used to the white version, and it looks cleaner and easier for me to read the charts, so I keep a 10. And Jason, in our office, he uses 11 because he wants the upgraded version, and he's happy with the way that looks. So everyone has their own preferences. The bottom line is, you really need to know how to use the information no matter what you're on. You need to understand the chart patterns and what the different indicators mean and how to use them and what matters and what doesn't. So that's more important. And really just whatever you feel comfortable with is the way I would go. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Good, Justin. How you doing?
Great.
Would you buy any of the big oil companies, specifically like Chevron at this level?
No, I mean, we actually started to divest a lot of our oil names late last year, early part of this year, and right now we own no oil names, and we think oil is going to head back down into the mid to low 40s. I think 42 is a good number that it's probably going to head to, and I think we're in the low 50s right now. So while it is near short-term support, I'll say that a lot of the oil names are near short-term support. So a bounce is possible if you're looking for, you know, something short-term. But longer-term, I think when oil prices get into the 42 level around there, that's when I would buy into the bigger names more long-term. But it depends on your time horizon. What's your time horizon?
10 plus years.
Okay. Then, yeah, I would wait till 42 on the oil price. Then you can talk about getting into the oil names.
Okay, perfect. Time for one more?
Sure, go for it.
Do you think Target's done falling down? It looks like it's been going sideways.
Let's see. Let me take a quick look at the chart.
TGP.
Yeah, I know. Simple. We've owned this for some of our managed accounts. Not all of our strategies own it. It's definitely down there to where it's attractive from a long term perspective. So if you're thinking long term, this is a good place to get in. If you're worried about maybe does it hit 50 or maybe $45 a share. That's certainly a, those are a couple levels that it could get to. You know, we're at the 200 month moving average, which is a very, very strong support. But if you go do a Fib retrace from the low in 2009, you know, the really big long term support is at about $48 a share. So could it trade down there? Sure. Does it have to? Absolutely not. So if you're gonna buy it here, understand that trading down into the 48 level is not out of the realm of possibility. You know, that's about 10% from here. So if you can't handle that, then I wouldn't be buying it yet. But if you can handle it, you're looking long term, I still like Target.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question this last 20 minutes of the show. So we're getting down to the last third. So I want to hear from you. Give us a call. Now, is the market starting to give up on tax reform? And President Trump has really been pushing tax reform and wants to pass it as part of his agenda. But the more you study the markets, the more you're realizing that the markets are giving up on the potential for tax reform. And the main indicator is the interest rate market, the bond market, which is the smartest market out there. If you're going to follow any market to really understand the underlying ebbs and flows of big money, it's the bond market, because the average person doesn't really invest in the bond market except through, you know, ETFs and mutual funds. But those people or those funds are invested by managers that are putting to work large amounts of money on a consistent basis. So when the bond market moves, it's really telling you what is happening in the marketplace. And the fact that the 10-year rate is now down to, it was up a couple of basis points today, but around 2.2% from a high of 2.6%, that's a pretty big move in the bond market. You know, we're at about 2.6% in December, and now we're down to 2.2. And what that's telling you is that tax reform is either being pushed off to 2018, or it's not going to happen at all. The rhetoric is saying, oh, well, it'll happen after Congress gets back from recess in the summer. They'll start working on it. Well, if healthcare is any indication, it's easily going to be pushed into 2018. And the complexities of the tax code, which I discussed yesterday, and the fact that lobbyists are really focused on the tax code, and that's where the big companies are getting their tax breaks, is through our tax code. There's special tax breaks for certain companies that special interests have built in. And so they're going to fight tooth and nail to make sure those are kept. And that is going to limit the ability for the president and Congress to really simplify the tax code, raise revenues, or smooth out revenues from across the economy. And if you look at LIBOR, the London Interbank Offer Rate, it's showing that short-term rates are falling. They're in a steady decline. And this means that the market is starting to price in that, yeah, the Fed might raise rates one or two more times this year, but it's coming to an end in 2018, meaning they're not going to raise rates in 2018, is basically what the LIBOR market is telling us. Now, do I think interest rates are going to go much, much lower than they are here? Probably not. I think 2% is probably the downside limit for the 10-year right now, which is a proxy for kind of all other rates in the marketplace. But you're starting to see economic numbers that are disappointing, like the March jobs report. Retail sales were weak, along with auto sales. And if those trends continue, you know, you're going to continue to see the fact that A, the economy is weakening, B, the Fed isn't going to raise much more, if at all, and C, that the tax reform that's supposed to lift our economy is really in jeopardy, and that's what the financial markets, the bond markets, are telling us. Now, April is the official financial literacy month, and our mission here on Invest Talk, each and every weekday, is to help you become financially literate. And Money Management International is sponsoring this month-long awareness campaign, and it's assembled 30 steps to financial wellness. Now, first is calculating your net worth, and it's simple, and that's comparing your what you owe, your liabilities, to what you own. And it's, you know, use the simple form below. You have to use a simple form to really figure out what your net worth is. This is really essential to your financial plan and goal setting. Understand where you are today. A lot of people think, well, I have assets of X. But if you don't consider liabilities, then you really don't understand your financial picture. You know, think about back in 2005, 6. So people said, I own real estate worth $4 or $5 million, but they owed $3.5 or $4 million on that. And so their net worth was much lower than they might have otherwise have touted or believed. So you got to put together your balance sheet, and it starts with, what are your financial assets? Okay. Your stocks, your bonds, your 401k, all of your financial assets, add in your home, your car, and then what are your liabilities? What's your mortgage on your home? What is your car loans? Do you have any student loans, credit card debt, other types of debt? Subtract those out, you get your net worth. And then you can start seeing, okay, here I am today. How much money do we need to save on a consistent basis? How do I invest it to reach your goals? So if you don't know your current net worth, you're not starting from the right place. Okay, so it's an important exercise that everybody should do and to keep track of on a consistent basis. Now, April is Financial Literacy Month, and Invest Talk is here to help. Do you have any questions about any money matters? I want to hear from you. We have about 12, 13 minutes left in the show. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART, or you can go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Justin button.
If you live near San Ramon in Northern California, Steve will be there for individual retirement reviews on April 25th. But if you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com and set up a time. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
This is Mark. I'm a podcast listener in Phoenix, and I love your show. But I did have one question. I've heard you say before that if interest rates rise, then the yield on bonds will go down. I don't really understand how that works, and I was hoping you might be able to explain why that is, because I don't understand how the one affects the other. Thank you. Bye.
Well, the yield on the bonds don't go down, but the price of the bonds go down. Okay? So if interest rates generally in the marketplace go up, the price of the bonds go down because most debt instruments have a fixed payment rate, right? It pays out X dollar amount annually. And if interest rates are going up, that means that new issues that are coming out or other bonds in the marketplace that you can go out and buy have a higher yield. And therefore, for that same bond to match the new level of interest rates, the price needs to drop because you're getting the same dollar amount annually, but the price needs to go down so that the yield can go up, right? Because the yield is what your income annually divided by the price of the stock, the bond, whatever it is, that's your yield. So if that actual payout is static, price has to go down and the yield will go up. The yield to maturity will go up. And that is why bond prices move inversely with yields. Yields go up, bond prices go down. Yields go down, bond prices go up. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Next, I want to talk about how the currency market is telling you that the Republican border tax plan is severely flawed. So I just talked about tax reform when it comes to income tax and corporate tax, etc. And part of that is the border adjustment tax. And there's a lot of infighting within the administration, actually, on this. And if you look at their assumptions, it's so grossly flawed that it makes absolutely no sense, first of all. And if you consider the potential effects of it, I can't see this being passed. Now, part of the proposal is to put a border adjustment tax of 20% on imports, right? And exempt any exports. And part of the plan is that they expect that the dollar will strengthen 25% if the plan is implemented. And this is based on very old world macroeconomic principles popularized by John Maynard Keynes, called the national income identity, which basically would, in theory, would say if you put a 20% of border adjustment tax, the value of the dollar would go up 25%. And I could explain the numbers, but that's basically what it says. The problem is that only 0.3% of dollar trading that happens every day has to do with trade. The rest has to do with the foreign currency markets. So that assumption is so grossly flawed, it's kind of scary. And that's why the border adjustment tax is dead on arrival. Otherwise, it's going to cause major issues. You're listening to Invest Talk. I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Claire. I'm calling from Palo Alto, and I hear the program in the Palo Alto Bay Area on AM Radio 1220. I'm wondering what your opinion is of BP stock and whether that is something that you would recommend purchasing right now. Thanks.
I would not be recommending purchasing BP. There was a caller earlier asking about oil names in general, and I said we got to wait till oil gets to $42 a barrel. That's when I would consider buying big oil names longer term. But BP is one of those oil names that I would not be buying. It's just honestly from a financial standpoint, they've really struggled since the BP oil spill back in what year was that? 2010, I believe it was. And they really haven't recovered. The mark, the chart is weaker than most other oil names in the marketplace right now. And they still have a substantial amount of debt and potential liability still from that spill. And they just aren't the best performer within the space. And I like to be investing in the best performer in the space. And just BP is not one of them. So I would be looking at other oil names possibly when oil gets to 42, but not BP would be off my list. Let's go to Daniel in Willow Park. How you doing, Daniel?
Hi, pretty good, thank you. Speaking of oil, I wanted to ask you about Occidental Petroleum, as I guess you'd call it the value play.
Okay. What do you like about the value?
Occidental Petroleum.
Where is it? The dividend you're looking for? Just do you think the value is cheap? What's your sense?
Yeah, I just wanted to know where to get in, or whether it might be worth getting into.
This is another name that's very, very weak. What worries me a little about Occidental is just how weak it is, and it is in the shale patch. It's really focused on that area, right?
Right.
And I just think, to be honest, a longer term, the shale patch will continue to grow as long as it's profitable, and the technology is improving so much that they continue to be more profitable. But the issue is that if that's your only source, you're really going to be continue to bump up against your cost to produce oil. because it isn't, even though it's getting cheaper, it's not the cheapest source of oil like the Chevrons have, the Exxon Mobils have. You know, they have sources of oil that are sub $10 a barrel to get out of the ground. And so with we're in an environment where $100 oil is just so far away from reality, it's not even funny. And so that's really where you need oil to get back above $60, $70 a barrel for the shale names to be really healthy. And so I'm looking at the decline in operating cash flow from Occidental. Back in 2014, it did, or let's go 13 at its high, of about $13 billion in operating cash flow. Trailing 12 months, it's only $3 billion, and it's declining. So I don't like that. It's not a name. I like it better than BP, I'll say that. But I don't really like it that much over the long term.
You wouldn't jump into it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It would need to be extremely cheap for me. It's right now it's kind of near value. Oil is going to get to 42, but I would still at 42 I'd still pick up other names besides Occidental. So, you know, it might be on my list of ones to watch, but it's certainly not at the top of my oil list.
Okay. Thanks for your wisdom. I appreciate it so much.
No problem, Daniel. Thanks for the call. That was Occidental Petroleum. OXY is the symbol. Yeah, and oil names are difficult. I think oil is going to have some tough times for a while because of the rise of shale oil. It's one of those counterintuitive things where you say, okay, well, shale oil supply is rising. That should be good for the industry, right? Well, if it's continuing to create a situation where there's a lot of oversupply in the marketplace, it's going to keep a lid on oil prices for the foreseeable future. And I would say long term, because what's going to change the dynamics? Are going to run out of shale oil? I think there's still a lot out there. So oil names aren't our favorite in the medium or long-term or short-term right now. It looks like we're done for this hour. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. You can reach me directly with a question or a comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Justin button, and I will get back to you. And on behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us. Let's plan on getting together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.